This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hi, this is Dave Musial, owner of Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, and Electric. With our biggest sale ever, furnaces from $39 a month, furnace and air conditioning combos from $59 a month, plus 72 months interest-free financing and up to a $4,000 system rebate. Four Seasons guaranteed to beat any competitor's price by up to $1,000 guaranteed. So call today for your free in-home estimate and same-day installation.
For all the right reasons, call 866-4-SEASONS.
Chicago winters can be brutal. Snow, ice, freezing temps. If you're thinking, driving in this weather, I need a new Chevy, you're not alone. The right vehicle makes all the difference when it comes to safety, confidence, and comfort on the road. You saw the Chevy lineup at the auto show. Now it's time to take the next step. Need the power and durability of a Silverado? The all-weather confidence of an Equinox or Blazer? The spacious comfort of a Traverse, Tahoe, or Suburban, or the sporty, city-friendly Trax, perfect for navigating winter streets? Your local Chevy dealer has exactly what you need to handle winter like a pro. Don't wait. Head to ChevyDriveChicago.com today. Browse the newest models, special offers, locate your nearest dealer, and start shopping online. Winter roads demand a vehicle you can trust. Find yours now at ChevyDriveChicago.com.
Carr sends it around. Marner waiting. Connor McDavid scores! Connor McDavid for Canada!
Final hour, fist pump time on the Fan Cam, Twitch, and YouTube. Sean Sharif, RJ Choppy, Bobby Belt. We got Peyton and Aiden in the back live on the Fan Cam, Twitch, and YouTube. Thank you for being a Tolo. That stands for turn it on, leave it on. And you know what, Pepe? I want to back up what we say and hook you up and do it quickly on a Friday for listening. Here you go.
Oh, yeah. All right.
Great All right, song. Tolos, that's right. Right now, call number 10 at 877-881-1053 wins a pair of tickets to see Dierks Bentley at the Dos Equis Pavilion on May 30th. That's call number 10 at 877-881-1053.
Make this your new 9 o'clock home. Your new 9 o'clock home as you may be searching around for your different radio options, and we're going to try to plant a giveaway every single day moving forward for being a Tolo. That stands for turn it on and leave it on. The United States lost in overtime to Connor McDavid and Canada, but I thought this lived up to the hype. I was excited for this. I got caught up in the anticipation, all the hype. I'm a hype guy, and I thought it did live up to it. You just got to have to have a good game. You're matching each other back and forth. You didn't get the fights that you got in the first matchup, but this was a humongous win for hockey with the four nations.
Big time win. It was a really good game. It was a really good tournament, whatever you want to call it. And at the end of the day, I mean, you know, their goalie just played better. And he made some tremendous saves on Austin Matthews, and you know, the U.S. really had a chance at the beginning of overtime.
A lot of chances.
At the end of the day, the best player in the world did it. The best player in the world did it. He's the Gretzky of today's hockey. If you want to call somebody that, but that's exactly what he is, and that's he was the best player on the ice, as he always is.
Well, was he the best player on the ice? I mean,
well, not necessarily in the game, but like,
yeah,
he is the best player on the ice every time he steps
left
out.
Wide open.
You mentioned you got into it. It lived up to the hype, everything like that. Did you find yourself getting into it enough that, like, when Canada made the goal in overtime, were you like, damn it? Because I did. Like, I was not anticipating, like, actually, I was just going to watch it because we were going to talk about it. Mm-hmm. But, like, when they actually made the goal, I was, like, pissed and, like, turned off the TV and, like, tossed the remote. I was like, I'll turn it back on later.
No, but you're setting me up to look unpatriotic. But I'm the person who, like,
this is why you get the extra screening at the airport, Sean.
After, yeah. I started thinking it was cool to see a monumental upset of the dream team, you know, because it's more entertaining to see them get scared or lose to someone inferior. You know, I don't I don't view my patriotism as rooting for the Olympic teams 1,000,000%. Like, give me the best sports story. I wanted a close game. If you gave me the choice, I know this is going to get me in trouble. If you gave me the choice of the Americans winning 5-0 or what happened last night with a close game in overtime, I'll take last night 100 times out of 100.
Oh, wow.
Man. I enjoy obviously you enjoy a close game better than you enjoy a blowout. But when your team is winning, then you just want the win, I guess. But it's absolutely more entertaining. Your preference would be 2-2 overtime winner by the U.S.
Sure.
Like, that's the preference. I'd much rather win an overtime game if it's my team winning than win a 5-0 game. Right? I want to win either way.
Yeah.
But I'd rather the more entertaining, like,
right, but answer intense. My scenario.
No. I'd rather win. I'd rather win 5-0. Because also, I think hockey, unlike a lot of the other sports, although they all have clocks except for baseball, there is a build of like a countdown build because, you know, there's not a whole lot of stoppages in hockey. It's just like the time is just kind of going down. It's the slow build of the time leaving, and it's like, hey, you're up 2-0. Let's get, you know, no empty net goals. They're going to pull the goalie with 3 minutes to go. It's a build. It's fun.
So I guess in your scenario that you're suggesting, and this is just the way my dumb brain probably works. Yeah. If it's
continue to screw me even more here.
If it's the Olympics, I want the 5-0 game for the U.S.
Yeah,
I was definitely like, go USA. But I guess I didn't view this one as much
the
as
stakes.
Like, it doesn't strike me as like an Olympic, like, hey, that, like, if you're actively, I will say, if you're actively rooting for Canada 3-2 in an Olympic gold medal game, would you still root for that, or would you go, no, you'd rather see the U.S. win 5-0 in the Olympic gold medal game?
Oh, I'll take the United States winning 5-0.
So that's the thing. I think the gold medal game.
Yeah, because I stayed for the celebration, and I was like, there's no way that this celebration would match an Olympic celebration after.
Right.
After that ended, I was just kind of like, okay. You know what I mean? Like,
Olympic celebration this was more muted.
Yeah.
So no, see, I'm coming to your side. I think the Olympics is a different question because that's like that is completely about, this is our entire country going against in everything and we want to win everything.
Yeah.
Whereas this was more like an entertainment product where you have a rooting interest, but it's more just, all right, this is for the entertainment.
It was an exhibition.
Yeah.
It was an exhibition.
It was. It was a cool trophy. For an exhibition, it's a hell of a trophy. It's like a smaller version of the Stanley Cup almost.
I know who's pissed about it, though, is Adam Silver. Not just because of NBA All-Star Weekend, but like, why don't they care about my IST like this? Why don't people get intense like that?
Well, PK Subban has an answer. He has been spitting fire on ESPN, and here he was talking about the difference between what they did last night in this tournament and in the NBA.
Hockey's a different sport from the NBA. You can't compare the cultures because of the way the game is played. You can step on an NBA floor and go through the emotions. You can't do that in hockey. You can't. Like, the culture of our sport, you have to play it with passion. You have to be willing to fight. You have to be willing to leave it on the ice. That's what fans are investing in. So for us, when we charge $1,500 for a ticket to come to Fortnite, fans know what they're getting. Cale Makar, the best defenseman in the world, wasn't in the lineup for this game. This was the most viewed game that we've had in years. And you see it, it's because it's not just based on the skill and talent. It's based on the pride, honor, playing for the guy next to you. I got a question for the NBA players. What the hell are you playing for? Mm. What are you playing for? It's not about the money. You make all the money. What, you're injured? Well, there's a difference between being hurt and injured. Are you hurt or are you injured? There's a difference. In hockey, we play hurt. We play injured. That is the culture of the sport. It's always been that way. So you want to talk about the business, the CBA. Fans get all of that. But what do fans resonate with? They resonate with what's real. You got to fight sometimes for your country. You got to compete. You got to go out there and leave it on the ice because those people are paying the price of admission. So fans know whether our stars are on the ice or not, they're getting their money's worth. The NBA has that issue that they got to work on. You got to create a better culture for your players. It starts with the leaders. This issue, there was no issue when Jordan was around. There was no issue when Kobe was around. There's no issue when Sidney Crosby's around. There's no issue when Wayne Gretzky was around, because those are true leaders. They lead by example. Sidney Crosby, Hockey Canada, those players, both Canada and U.S., it was the players that did that for the Four Nations. That's not the league. The league set it up, but the players went out there and decided and said, you know what, boys? We're all in. When is the NBA going to do that?
And that's what you brought up yesterday. Following the lead of the leaders, and now, of course, ESPN is going to wear PK Subban out as he is on TV every second now.
He's great on air.
To fix all the sports.
Yeah, he's great on air.
Fix college hockey. He's going to fix college hockey. He's going to fix the NBA. So he's going to earn all his paycheck today.
Yes, he is.
And this week.
You know, look, you can get away with it in baseball. Like, it is an effort sport, but like if you're pitching in an all-star game, you're throwing one inning. No pitcher wants to go out there and get lit up, so they're not going to throw 80 miles an hour. They're just going to throw their normal gas. Now, they might not throw sliders.
Yeah.
You know, Schilling told us, he goes, I told A-Rod I'm throwing you fastballs. And he was just trying to see if he could beat him by throwing nothing but cheese. And, you know, it's as a hitter, you're going out there in an all-star game, you're trying to hit the ball out of the park.
You can't slack a baseball game.
Right, yeah.
I mean, you can by throwing less stuff, maybe a little softer, but you're going to swing the same. You're going to run a little less. You're going to run less.
Yeah, you're not looking at scouting reports.
Yeah. We can't detect laziness.
Right.
Baseball is the least detectable for laziness.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, and basketball.
Except Manny Ramirez.
Yeah. Basketball and football, it's easy to detect it.
Easy.
You know, hockey.
And hockey would be, too.
It would be, too. I mean, look at their all-star games. I mean, they're scoring 9, 10, 11, 12 goals.
Hockey is the most 100 miles an hour consistent sport that there is.
Yes. And, you know, you're only on the ice for, you know, they're short shifts. Yeah. They're, you know, it depends on, you know, what position you play, how short the shifts are.
I will say, though, the one thing I have a problem with there from what he said, most of it's right on point, and I think most of it's how everybody feels. The thought about, are you hurt or are you injured? We play through stuff. I think that's a little dangerous to basically take the opinion of from his experience in his own sport, knowing those things. Like, I would assume he knows enough to know when guys were hurt that it wasn't public. There are guys in the NBA who do play through things when they're hurt. Yeah. It makes it sound like every NBA player soft. I just don't know that that's a fair characterization if he doesn't know
guys who go through this. It's fair from, look.
And I think Pop started that load management stuff. The players did.
One of the top two problems in the NBA, maybe number one, is back-to-backs. Like, back-to-backs, and the most dangerous ticket to buy in sports is an NBA ticket.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. So he can stand on that. Last night, the sideline reporter for hockey goes, I know multiple guys who are not playing in their next regular season team game, but they are trying to gut it out for tonight.
I mean, you know, Quinn Hughes, Vancouver did not let him come to this. McAvoy was out. There was talk that, you know, Tkachuk was hurt during this game.
Yeah.
There was a lot of guys, you know, Cale Makar for Canada missed the Saturday game against the U.S. With an illness. Like, they missed, you know, they came back. But, man, it's, you know, the NBA, like I said, in all the years Luka was here and all the times I went to a I never saw him play a regular season game. Every Mavs game I went to, he was sitting that night. I saw him in the playoffs a couple times. But I never saw him play a regular season basketball game.
Did he look out of shape?
It looked like he was wearing the same outfit every time. It was the brown Jordan jumper.
Yeah. Choppy took some issue with Molly Kierum, who on First Take talked about the hypocrisy between cheering and judging fighting in different sports after U.S.-Canada the first time.
It's just interesting to me that certain sports you're allowed to fight and other sports never happen.
That's true. By the way,
optics!
In international competition over the last 50 years, they've had a total of 5 fights. USA and Canada, they had 3 and 9 seconds on Saturday night. That drove me crazy. All right, number 2.
Just a little hypocrisy.
I mean, just say what you want to say. Don't beat around the bush. Just if you want to say it, say it. Just go ahead. Like, say it in a microphone. And while the other guy's screaming like a lunatic.
Is she right?
No, she's not right. I know it's hard for anybody at ESPN to understand, but not everything has a racial undertone to it. I know that ESPN tries to make it that way. Plenty of things do have a racial undertone to it. And when you force something like that, it lessens the real actual racism that's out there.
So she's taking this back to the Malice at the Palace days. She's taking this back to the Iverson era.
Mm-hmm.
And she's saying, if you fight in the NBA, you're a bunch of thugs.
They went to the crowd.
But with hockey, we love it and we cheer you on.
Well, they went in the crowd for that. Like,
no, but even,
fighting's allowed in hockey. It's not allowed in the NBA. Like, that's a league rule. Like, they don't.
So you disagree with the menacing perception that it even seemed like David Stern wanted to get away from.
Yeah.
This is the thug era. We don't want dreads.
That part of it, the dress code, I have a much bigger problem with the dress code that the NBA, I thought that had a much bigger racial undertone to it. If you're trying to say, oh, we don't want dreads, that's a much bigger racial undertone. Fighting, hockey is, you fight as soon as, the referee breaks it up at the right time, and then you go to the penalty.
She's just trying to say, and I think we cheer white guys doing it, but if it was black guys, we'd go crazy. My counter back to Molly would be, when's the last time you've seen an NBA fight for us to say that?
Yeah, they don't fight.
Give me the last real deal big time NBA. Draymond. Now, did we get those terms thrown at Draymond when he was busy suplexing Euros?
Yeah. I think he got called that.
Draymond is Kachuk.
It's part of the game of hockey. Like, for instance, George Laroque from the Oilers, like he was an enforcer and he would fight. And nobody called George Laroque. Like, people did cheer on George Laroque doing that. And so,
yeah, it's because it's part of the sport. Like, that's the thing. It's, if it was part of the NBA, the NBA's never allowed fight. Like, they've never had
the malice of the palace. The fans and the players were both acting, like, if you want to use the term thug, they both were. Like, the fans were awful throwing the beers, but you can't just go punch them in the face and then go, well, it's, you can't be critical of that. That has undertones.
Big time success, and I thought last night lived up to the hype, even though Team Canada won in overtime. I can't believe I'm saying this, but I'm looking forward to this segment the most of the entire show. We have facial hair policy being changed, and a network is done with Major League Baseball. Are they making the right call? RJ Choppy with a loaded Diamond Cavs next on The Fan. We're going to unleash some Diamond Cavs on you. It's RJ Choppy's bait.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Ah, can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Flurry
series of fun awaits this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Baseball segment. If you don't know what the Diamond Cavs are about, just go look at Corey Major's escalator video of RJ at the Super Bowl. And we are your home of the Texas Rangers. Jared Sandler is already out there. This weekend, the rest of the fellas are flying out to surprise Arizona while we head to the NFL Combine in Indianapolis. Go.
Where do you want me to start?
Let's start with ESPN dumping baseball. Joe Buck.
Joe Buck. Man, Joe Buck is coming back.
And let's take it to the Razor.
Joe Buck will be calling an opening day baseball game this year on ESPN. He is going to be back doing baseball.
I know we'll catch hate. We'll catch hate for applauding, but he's the best.
He's tremendous.
Stud.
You know what? Joe Buck. I hate to this day, and I was so mad in the moment when Freeze hit that home run in Game 6.
What home run?
To send it to Game 7. No. The call was fantastic.
Well, it was such a great
opportunity to that. Given that moment, the fact that he was able to like reference his dad's historical call, I thought that was super cool.
If you're certain, don't search to play it, Pepe.
Yeah, don't you don't.
Have to play it looked like you were it. Trying to put we in a little heard, effort there. It. No, don't search to play it. Who did he rip off?
His dad,
Jack. Yeah.
Well,
because it was we'll see you tomorrow night, and it was early morning, so he said we will see you later tonight.
I think that's paying homage.
I thought it was really
like
cool.
Joe Davis's call. And you, I've noticed.
What was the Joe Davis call?
The Joe Davis call. You kidding me? The Dodger.
Oh, I don't believe what I just saw.
It was something with the Scully. I remember Brandon raving. Look that up. Look up Joe Davis with a call. I don't know whether it's tomorrow night or I don't believe what I just saw.
Yeah, it may have been. Look, I mean, Joe, you know, he paid homage to
you're starting here. It
one
is.
Of the most overrated broadcasters ever, Jack Buck.
He's starting to put the hate on Joe Davis too.
I don't have anything against Joe Davis.
You wrote something in your email the other day.
She is gone. That was what he from the Kirk Gibson.
Anyway,
I was talking about Brian Anderson. That's who. You know, he's got to scream. Joe doesn't scream and shout.
I'm sorry.
At you.
Yeah.
Brian Anderson screams and shouts. No, I think Brian did a really good job in the playoffs this past year. I thought his Soto call was really, really good of the home run that in the ALCS. I think he's looked very good. I don't need it in a regular season game. I don't need Kevin Harlan screaming at me that PJ Washington hit a three in April or February. April, that's playoffs, baby.
So Joe Buck back.
Joe Buck is back.
For what network?
For ESPN for probably the final time. Because Rob Manfred and ESPN met, and they had like 2 or 3 years left in the deal. And Rob is like, y'all don't talk about us. We're taking our business elsewhere. Where? I have no idea. This, I think, is a huge mistake.
On whose part?
On baseball's part. ESPN doesn't know how to talk baseball. They don't care about baseball. But their promotion marketing arm, you need. You are better off, in my opinion, as a league, to give your product to ESPN for free than you are to get paid to take it somewhere else. More people will watch because it's on ESPN. Because it's
what are they promoting?
Well, the games. Have the games there. You know, like, you know, college basketball, like, it's
so,
on every
so
night.
So you mean, like, just we'll trade the promotion for the lack of analysis? The lack of talk topic?
Yes. Do they care if it's on First Take? Maybe not. But if you have a game on, they used to have games on Sunday, Monday, and Wednesday on ESPN. If they're on 3 times a week,
yeah,
they're going to promote the hell out of it that they have the games that night.
Yeah.
They're just going to promote it, and that brings people to watch, and then they're going to want to watch more, and they're going to watch more and more and more.
Is this going to go to Netflix, Amazon, Apple now?
TBS? They'll probably go to TNT. My assumption is when the TNT loses the NBA next year, they'll probably go to TNT. And TNT will do a good job promoting it, but the problem is, TNT is nobody's, it's on nobody's channel of like, this is where I go to look for sports. Everybody goes to ESPN.
Yeah.
I couldn't tell. I know 206. I think TNT is 245. It might be 247.
I mean,
245. 247 is TBS.
There you go.
Manfred has hit before on, and he just did it recently, that he wants to see them move to a revenue sharing model that mirrors like the NFL, where they get the TV ad revenue share and everything else. I would imagine, because I think he's floated this idea before too, he wants a bigger standalone, like prime time type of, NBA was talking about this too, like a Thursday night football type thing where baseball is on that night. And that's, they're all trying to copy what works. Just like they're trying to figure out the Four Nations thing and how do we copy that? Leagues are doing that. Everybody's trying to figure out how do we get the NFL intensity on TV.
The big story here to me is what does this say on ESPN's part? What does this say about the sport of baseball? Now, did Manfred, was ESPN, did Manfred walk away? Was it mutual?
Kind of both.
Did ESPN say, peace out, we're done with this?
This is a McCarthy-Jerry situation.
They, yeah, they're probably talking contract negotiations and you know, Manfred wanted more.
Let's just assume ESPN's totally fine with this. This is a humongous indictment of the sport. Humongous.
You would think, well, from ESPN believes it is. I mean, the team, like, the World Series gets better or the same. It's kind of flipping back and forth between the NBA. So, like, the NBA numbers, if you look at the World Series versus the NBA Finals last year, I mean, World Series blew it away. So, what does that tell you? The All-Star game and the NBA All-Star game just got 4 million people. The baseball All-Star game got 7.
It tells me one is bad, the other is worse.
Well,
I'm not throwing a parade for either one.
But I think what ESPN, has found is that like the intrigue of the NBA offseason is far more entertaining than the NBA season. Yep. And you know, they like to talk about that. Basketball is not like any more in the public eye regular season game to game or the playoffs. It's the offseason, it's the storylines around the sport.
Yeah.
From a talk show fodder perspective, absolutely, you talk basketball, but for like the actual games, like you would rather have, I guess you could say either one. You'd rather have either one.
Yeah, I'm kind of saying either or.
Yeah,
is it just a different generation, or is it like are we from a different generation that consumed it differently, or had different interest in it, or was the presentation different when I used to look forward to the Fox Saturday game of the week when I was younger? Yep. I wanted to watch NBA
this
on
week
NBC.
In baseball.
Yeah, this week in baseball, then lead into the baseball game, and I used to love NBA on NBC. That felt, as a kid, I remember NBA on NBC, especially when Jordan was playing. It did feel to me like this is an NFL game now, mm-hmm. like the way that feels. Yeah. And I don't know how to.
If I asked the TV executive, same year, same money, same terms, do you want to air Major League Baseball or the NBA? What would they answer?
You're just talking about the game.
Yes.
I don't think about it. I think it's the same.
Same.
It's because some years you get basketball, have better ratings in the finals, and some years you have baseball.
Yeah.
I think they're generally about...
I think both are not in trouble, but the stock is not going up.
Right. Yeah, basketball, what the NBA offers is they offer storylines.
Yeah. And
they offer storylines that baseball just doesn't offer.
Yeah.
But like the games, if you look at the numbers of the games, the ratings are about the same. They're both, kind of mid. Mm. Now, let's go to the Razor.
Just blowing up.
You want to know what it takes to get ESPN to talk baseball? The Yankees have to change their beard policy. Hal Steinbrenner decided that it is time to change the policy that the Yankees have had for 49 years. A 49-year policy of no beards, no facial hair. You can have a mustache. That's it. And he said, George Steinbrenner said, I have nothing against long hair, but I want a certain sense of order and discipline in the ball club. Hal, his son, said, I've been trying to deal with this for years. I've been talking to former players, and I've decided that the decision rests with me, and we are going to allow players and uniform personnel to have well-groomed beards moving forward. It's the appropriate time to move beyond our familiar comfort of our former policy.
Well-groomed. So that would be like when my neck beard is untrimmed, like that would be a problem for them. Yeah. But if I've been to a barber shop, then they're okay with it.
They used to send letters, like you would get a letter in your locker if like you had like not a 5 o'clock shadow, but if you'd gone like 2 or 3 days without shaving and you had like scruff, they would put a letter in your locker.
My boy just said, Yankees traded for Devin Williams, who grew his beard for 6 years. He reported the spring training 10 days ago and shaved his beard.
Oh, my gosh.
Only for them to discontinue the policy. All right, Choppy, initial thoughts. You grew up around this. You're struggling mightily.
I'm struggling mightily. I never cared for the beard facial hair law that they had.
This is a perfect choppyism right here.
But I also
you're about to hear.
So I never really liked their policy, but I also don't think they should change it. Like it's, I don't like that they changed it. This is what they are. This is their it's their thing. The uniform, it's not a sloppy looking uniform. It looks like a tuxedo. I don't want to see Charlie Blackman out there with long hair and a long beard. I don't like that.
Is your dad rolling?
My dad's
right now?
Rolling his grave. He's rolling his grave. IBM, like I don't want casual Fridays at IBM. IBM wears a black suit and a tie, and they don't have
You would if you worked at IBM.
I don't know. If I worked at a real job, like my dad always said, casual Fridays. He says for losers. So he said losers. He always wore a suit to the office. Never, not even on casual Friday. I just don't know. I don't know. Like the Red Sox uniform looks sloppy. The players look sloppy. This is their thing.
Michael Kay must just be having a meltdown this morning after he's like telling Cleveland Guardians bat boys to tuck your hair in, you little brat. My favorite quote that's people are retweeting it again. My favorite story about this. Lou Piniella had this out with George Steinbrenner over the beard policy. And he said, Jesus Christ had long hair and a beard. Why can't we have beards and long hair? The Yankee owner showed him a small pond beyond the outfield fence. He said, you see that pond? Walk across that pond and you can have a beard and long hair. It's a good line.
It's good. It's a very good line. I feel very conflicted on this, though. Very, very conflicted.
My big question sitting in the Yankee meetings would be, has this cost us players and does this harm us in any way in terms of culture, happiness, or people wanting to come here?
They seem to have signed a million free agents that had, like, Giambi shaved. I mean, they all shave. Garrett Cole cut his hair.
Okay,
if we
don't money whip someone, is this ever worked against us? And the guys view this as a pain in the ass.
They might. They do view it as a pain in the ass. And I think they would have said over the last 50 years, that's fine. We're comfortable losing people. This is our policy. And I respect that. Like, I get it, right? If you have to do this every day, if you have to go to work every day, but I don't know. It's it feels dirty.
Rougned Odor said when he had to shave it off to go to the Yankees, he said his daughter wouldn't come near him. He was like, she was scared of me.
It's like your daughter, right?
Yeah. But she won't, she doesn't like, if I just even like shave it down to a shadow, she gets upset. And so same sort of thing. You're breaking up families. That's what the Yankees do.
After 49 years, the facial hair policy is changing in the Bronx. Let's crosstalk. Corey Majors is out of the hospital. We reunite with the K&C masterpiece, and we preview RJ's colon after this. That lived up to the hype, even though they did not win in Boston. It's Crosstalk with the return of Corey Majors and the KNC Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan. Welcome back.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
What was it?
COVID, flu, pneumonia.
You had COVID?
All three of them.
And Bassic.
Bassicitis.
No, it was not.
I have that right now.
So, did you test for COVID?
All of them, yeah. I went to the doctor on...
What'd you think? He just guessed he had it?
Tuesday? I think I went to the doctor on Tuesday. And they were like, well, you're on the back half of all of it. So, because I got my symptoms started like 2 weeks ago. And then pneumonia has kicked in because of it. So
have you tested for COVID before you came back to work? Again?
You don't have to have a positive test anymore because they've proven that the positive test... You don't have to have that.
Okay.
Yeah.
But wait, what?
That's, yeah.
Everything we were told isn't true?
It's unbelievable.
No, they learn more since then, dummy.
That's true. That's how it works.
You don't know everything at first. You have to learn things over time.
But then don't you think
we think we always knew the technology for a cell phone?
No, but I also wouldn't pretend that I didn't.
You think they failed?
Up a bunch of nonsense.
They failed a few times, like the BlackBerry.
Oh.
Oh, the BlackBerry? You think it was a failure?
Is it still doing well?
Well, it was
a failure.
I don't think the BlackBerry was pretty. You had one.
Yeah, I don't know if that's how I define things if they're not successful.
No,
right
no,
now.
They're gone.
Oh, so, yeah. BlackBerry was good. Obsolete.
BlackBerry was good at the time.
Dinosaur.
It was good at the time.
It's a dinosaur.
What's coming up?
We have executive producer and host of Foul Territory, Scott Braun, joining us at 10:40 today. And then so much more. We have a combo platter today that I'm going to love at 12:20. It's about the combination IHOP and Applebee's and whether or not you'll eat at it, I think.
Or what restaurants should go together next.
No restaurants should go together. The KFC, Taco Bell combo, Pizza Hut, whatever we had. Yeah. Nobody wanted that.
The IHOP Applebee's is here. So by your definition, it still exists.
Okay.
And so it is relevant.
The A&W and Long John Silver's thing.
But that's because nobody had ever seen a freestanding A&W restaurant.
That's true.
And it freaked them out.
I still don't know what's in there.
Did you eat that on the way home?
The Long John's? No, I didn't. I got a colonoscopy on Monday. I'm on a dietary restriction.
All right, let's preview this.
Well, I'm getting
man. We're previewing his colonoscopy.
Yeah.
I wrote it down for 9:40.
So,
Peyton, get the Inside the Colon music on.
Yeah. Yeah, so I got 5 days out, I had to start my low residue diet.
What does that mean?
I can't.
Now, are you supposed to get a colonoscopy at 40 or 45 these
45.
Days?
45.
Okay, you are?
45.
Okay, so you have not gotten one.
I have not.
Corey?
Nope.
Okay.
I can't wait. I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be a great nap.
Well, as you said, you call it a Tuesday.
I can just go in a box, yeah. Right? Can't I just do that?
They don't. It doesn't.
That's for something different.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it doesn't do this. Doesn't. It's not as, I guess, intricate and stuff.
So okay. What's low residue?
I could basically have chicken.
No olives and pretzels.
Last night you did a really lard looking potato chip reveal.
Yeah, I can have fats. I can't have like seeds. I can't have peas. I can't have like any kind of vegetable with skin on it.
Corn.
Can't have corn.
Fiber.
You never really owned corn.
I gotta be completely cleaned out. So then I've got to go to the store today and I have to buy some laxatives. And then
they didn't give you like the super laxatives?
Well, they do, but you gotta start taking them like a couple of days before that.
Oh.
So they want you to start taking it, get in your system so you're kind of loosened up. And then they don't give you a drink anymore. They give you pills. So I'm going to hammer the pills on Sunday. And they said, don't plan on going anywhere. And don't plan on sleeping Sunday night.
After the pills.
Yeah. Like Sunday night, like at midnight, I think I start taking the pill, like the other pill. And I'm just, you know.
That's when you're going to be jumping over 4 cars.
Oh, I'm going to weigh myself before and after. I can't wait. I cannot wait.
Well, it's probably going to come back.
It will definitely come back. Absolutely.
But just as a science experiment.
Yeah.
It's just nice.
I can't wait to see this 16-hour weight loss.
When I was early on in my broadcast career, Sean, I would run to the board. I would be running the board, and they had these 5 a.m. on a Saturday morning shows, and one of them was about Ruby Reds or beta blockers or whatever. I don't know. And the guy said, the average human has 22 pounds of poop in their body.
Just hanging around.
What?
Just hanging around. The average 22 pounds of poop.
22 pounds?
Like, that seems like a lie.
I always heard it was more like 15, but yeah.
Yeah, I'm like, I think that's a lie, and I'm going to test this theory. Because I am machine gun colon. I don't stop going, as it is. I give my colon no rest, and it won't have any rest this weekend.
How early into the doctor instructions did you ask about drinking this weekend?
Immediately.
Okay, and what's the answer?
They say 5 days out.
No drinking.
No drinking.
Have you followed that?
No. I can't do that. I can't go 5 days without alcohol.
Are you going to follow it this weekend?
Yes. Yes, I am.
All right, so sober Friday, sober
There's no
Saturday.
Way I get through a work week without alcohol.
You didn't
why
used,
are you following
you
the other
you
things,
You didn't used
then?
To be like this.
No, I didn't. Why am I following the other
things? Alcoholism happens slowly over time. There's a dependency
that is kind of how it works, you know?
Yeah. That's not alcoholism.
I'm joking.
I
relax.
Go to meetings.
Relax. Admitting that's the first step.
So what are you going to do today, tomorrow? You got the kids?
No kids. So it's the wrong weekend.
Yeah.
I should have had
well,
this
you
on.
You can take other things.
Oh, yeah. Good. Absolutely.
How
great
far
question.
In do they go?
I assume.
I've always wondered
what?
This. Like, do they touch stomach acid?
Yes.
Like,
how's this? I think so. Oh, they go all gosh. The way. They go all the way through your whole colon. And then it's like, they say that if you have like polyps, they'll burn them off.
Yes.
Oh my God.
A buddy of mine, that happened to him. So I know that.
So when do you go in Monday and how long does this take? And are you totally knocked out?
I go in Monday morning, like first thing. And they say it's probably like a 30-minute procedure, maybe hour long tops. And
Corey
then
doesn't know. None of us have had.
And
it.
Then you go into the recovery room, which I'm used to going to anyway. After I go to the bathroom, I have to lay in bed for like an hour.
Recovery room.
I got to recover.
Oh my gosh! It sounds like you need this.
Yeah. So I'm gonna go in there and I'll recover and then I'll come home.
And then results. How long does that take?
I have no idea. I don't know. I guess they'll be able to see with the scope, with the camera.
Yeah.
That they have.
Are you like afraid of the first time you have to go after? Like, are you kind of concerned?
So apparently I can't leave there until I pass gas.
Okay.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So apparently you're in a giant room with just people farting everywhere.
So it's like you on an airplane.
Yeah, absolutely. But only, and just like on an airplane, I'll be able to blame it on somebody else.
That's right.
That's why I always try to sit next to, if I ever fly Southwest, I try to sit next to babies or old people. They can't control
fart
themselves.
On airplanes?
You can always blame a fart on a baby or an old person.
Yeah, he said the airplane seat is the best place to muffle.
It is. It's a great place to muffle. The problem is, as George Carlin said, if you're ever like in a water landing,
yeah,
you're just floating around in a pillow full of beer farts.
When do you go back to work after such a...
The next day.
Oh.
Tuesday.
Tuesday, nice. He'll be back.
Oh, that's nice.
Yes.
Do you need like a donut seat or anything?
Call
or?
It clean as a whistle.
Pepe, what are the Tolos saying about having one?
The 214 has some advice for you, RJ. They say, RJ, as someone who's had 32 colonoscopies,
whoa,
make sure you drink plenty of liquid for prep. That's a lot of people texting, you got to drink liquid.
Oh my gosh.
32?
Any kind of liquid? And like,
I hope he's okay.
Yeah.
32?
Or she.
That seems like a high number.
30. That does seem.
Well, maybe they've had a reason.
Like, yeah, I mean, if you've got a condition, though, it's like common to do. I've only had one. I had one when I was.
So you have had one?
Yeah, I had a colonoscopy, and then what's the other one? The
prostate
one,
exam?
No, the one down your throat where they're checking your
tracheotomy?
Stomach.
Tracheotomy?
No, where they're checking your
Wednesday
stomach.
Night
the
for
end
you.
The endoscopy or whatever it's called.
Oh, okay.
So I had to have both those done because I'd lost like 13 pounds in a week and couldn't stop vomiting, and it was like an inflammation in the stomach. But that was I was next day back to normal.
So fine?
Yeah, it was fine.
All right. Yeah,
limping a little.
I don't sense any fear from you whatsoever.
I'm not scared of the procedure.
And good for
I'm
you.
I'm scared of what they if they find something.
And good for you for doing it immediately.
Yeah,
good job.
Yeah,
and hopefully inspiring other people to get it.
Like
done.
This Wembenyama thing scared me yesterday.
Man, no freaking kidding.
I'm like, all right, do I have to go get like checked out for blood clots all of a sudden? Wemby, and someone just drops dead
and
randomly.
Out of the too.
Yeah, usually you think of it in the legs.
Like calves.
Right?
It's usually calves is where they're at.
And on your shoulder.
Yeah, I wouldn't think it was in the shoulder. Or then they travel to your lungs. That's when you get the embolism.
When are you guys flying out to Arizona?
Sunday afternoon.
Okay.
1:25.
You got things on the checklist out there for recreation? Where are you staying as of late?
We are staying at a hotel that's like super duper close. Okay. I don't know about that.
Yeah. Like you could throw a baseball at the field.
Super close to the facility. Wow. Which is freaking awesome.
Yeah.
I like taking walks out there. We've had discussion about maybe going up a mountain again.
Yeah. That sounds.
Camelback?
That was always the thing when we had Ted. Ted would just
tell
say,
until I see the ladies.
Let's go, guys.
Yeah.
So that was always fun with Ted. But there's stuff to do there. My cousin lives out there, so I'm going to go say hi to him.
What's that weather like right now?
Perfect. It's going to be, there is one day where the high is going to be 88.
What?
So,
seems warm.
Yeah. So we're in like really nice, dry.
83, 86, 87, 88, 84.
Yeah. Oh!
Yeah. It's going to be
what
great.
Are we getting in Indianapolis?
Well, we're going to be getting like
mid-40s,
maybe a little bit of rain, but it's not
DFW
too bad.
DFW is going to be beautiful while we're gone.
Yeah, they're
actually nice.
Yeah.
They're warming up because they're 28 degrees for their high today in Indianapolis.
Do you prefer the cold to the hot?
Yes.
Define cold and define hot.
Well, I've seen people posting that they would take 107 degrees over 7 degrees.
1,000 times every day.
Yeah. No.
Seven.
I would take 107.
I grew up in Texas. I love it. I love the Texas heat. Give me Texas heat. I can be in the pool.
I would take 7 degrees. This is another one of my things. I would take 7 degrees or minus 7 and no wind. Or low wind, over 20 degrees in wind.
Sure. Oh, yeah, it's the wind.
It's and even if it's no wind, either one.
Damn it, next week it is freaking 70 degrees around here.
Beautiful.
And then the days that we are here, it's 47-57. Oh. And then when we leave, it's 71 and 69.
Nice.
All right, Chop. Nice knowing you.
Oh man!
Good luck to your butt.
Thanks.
They had to stop my anesthesia in the middle of it for the colonoscopy because I started getting so panicked, my heart rate jumped, and they're like, "Stop!" And I was like, "It's fine. I'm just anxious." They went, "Oh, okay." And then
you weren't asleep?
No, they knocked me out as they were trying to knock me out. My heart rate spiked 50 beats per minute as they were trying to knock me out.
So I don't feel like the doctor should be taking your advice in that moment. It's like, that's fine. Yeah. I get nervous. They're like, all right, go ahead.
It's the return of Corey Majors and the K&C masterpiece. Everyone have a fantastic weekend. K&C next on The Fan.
True crime fans will love Crime House True Crime Stories, a Crime House original podcast. Every Monday, you'll experience the most notorious true crime cases from that week in history, all linked by a common theme. From serial killers to disappearances to unsolved murders and so much more. Follow and listen to Crime House True Crime Stories, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.